Blog Talk Radio.
We've been watching the enemy. We have grown in numbers. We have awakened to the truth that now it's time to take our position on the front lines of battle. I am a pioneer in this truth counterculture. Myself and many others have built the foundation of the truther movement, and I am honored to take the enemy by its nasty horns. Now that you have woke up, it's time to rise. You have tuned into your exclusive spot for objective journalism, rising against the New World Order. Welcome to Recharge Radio.
Hi, this is God Sent Angel, and you're joining me live on Recharge Radio Reporters. And let's get into the news. Today, out of Tennessee, the whole school district is closing down for a week, it says, due to illnesses. The children at the schools are ill with the flu. It says Clay County, Tennessee school districts are closed for the rest of the week due to illnesses, school officials said, announced on Tuesday. Both school systems will close Wednesday through Friday due to many students being sick with flu-like symptoms. They will return to school on Monday, December the 10th, and last week both Stewart and another county school closed for several days due to this illness. This is alarming. We know what's happened in Tennessee with all of their floodings and tornadoes and such. My prayers go out to all the school children. I'm not sure exactly when they're saying like flu-like symptoms. Is it actually the flu, or it could be from the tornadoes and floodings that have happened in that area? Maybe it's a good sign that a lot of people are not getting their vaccination shots or not getting their flu shots. I don't know. That's an assumption, but I thought that was very important to put out there. My goodness, that's a whole week of school that these kids will miss and will have to make up when they return. Moving on to our next article, I wanted to discuss this. It's very alarming, very upsetting to me. It says, food allergies, question mark. Well, there's pesticides in tap water that might be to blame. So we go into this article, and it says food allergies are on the rise, estimatingly affecting 15 million Americans. And according to a new study published in December issue of the annual allergies, asthma, immunity, and the Scientific Journal for American College of Allergies, Asthma, and Immunity, pesticides in tap water could be partially to blame. And maybe also the vaccination shots, because they destroy your immune system and also can create some asthma in children if they're allergic to certain properties that are in these vaccines and flu shots. And then it also makes me think about chemtrails, because they are also very damaging to our body. So let's go into the study. It says the study reported that high levels of, I apologize, I do not know how to say that that word. I'm going to spell it for you. D-I-C-H-L-O-R-O-P-H-E-N-O-L-S. And it's a chemical used in pesticides and to chlorinate water. When found in the human body, are associated with food allergies. Our researchers show that high levels of this contains pesticides, which can possibly weaken the food tolerance in some people, causing food allergies. An allergist in her study said that these chemicals is commonly found in pesticides used by farmers and consumers for insect and weed control products, as well as tap water. Among 10,348 participants in the U.S. National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey between 2005 and 2006 said that they measured in their urine, and the 2,221 were also included in the study. So this poison was found in people's urine. Food allergies are found in 411 of these participants, including 1,016 had an environmental allergy. Previous studies have shown that both food allergies and environmental pollutions are increasing in the United States. Well, gee, we've got GMO, and even if someone does want to grow something natural, they are enforcing these farmers. They make these farmers spray their crops with what? The FDA, I believe that's who it is, regulates it and tells them to do that. The results of these studies suggest that two trends might be linked and have increased the use of pesticides and other chemicals associated with higher evidence of food allergies. This is horrible. I mean, we also know that prescription drugs are in your tap water. I mean, we found that. We also know that chloride, fluoride is found in water as well. So my goodness, you know, population control, And this all is going to tie into later when I start getting into Obamacare. My thoughts and feelings is they're trying to weaken our immunity. And there's that word again that was in this article. They're trying to weaken our immunity so that we run to Obamacare, so that we don't get help, we don't get cared for, and we don't even know what Obamacare is. I have tried to read several articles about it. Sounds so iffy. Nothing set in stone. Doctors are worried. We're worried as Americans. Even businesses are worried, but we're going to get into that here in just a moment. I'm going to go back into the health news. There was one more thing that I wanted to read about health before I get into that. Let me find my article, please. Let's go into some natural health. Let's have something that will make us all feel a little better before we start getting into the heavy part of Obamacare. Arizona medical marijuana law is constitutional, says the judge, and it finds that dispensaries are on their way to be opened. You cannot block a medical marijuana dispensary from opening up just because of federal prohibition of marijuana, says the county judge that ruled this. This is a big court ruling in 2010 for Arizona's Medical Marijuana Act, and the one which would be operated for dispensaries have been waiting. The decision for Superior Court Judge Michael Gordon is a green light for dispensaries to be open in Arizona. It is also a resounding approval of the voters' wishes. And Gordon goes on to read this in his ruling. The judge has ordered that this county must make allowances for the White Mountain Health Center and a planned Sun City medical marijuana dispensary that has been stigmatized by the county refusing to release zoning information required by state law. It is advised by the county attorney, Bill Montgomery, social conservative, and the board of supervisors agree that the county should not release the zoning information zoning information to the White Mountain, blocking the dispensary from moving ahead with its plans. But White Mountain sued and declared that the voters have already spoken. Montgomery teamed up with the state attorney general, Tom Horn's office, to argue the federal angle, and that is Arizona could not possibly legalize nor authorize the use of marijuana because the federal government says marijuana is legal now. And that goes for my state too, Colorado. Colorado has legalized marijuana also, and there will be dispensary. It will be sold, from what I understand from it, it will be sold and taxed, and that taxes will go to schools. I'm a little worried about that, that it's going to be going to schools. I wish it would have gone in maybe something, roads or something a little bit neutral for those who, including myself, like, you know, marijuana is natural, but we don't want to send the wrong message to our school kids, hey, let's do drugs because it's okay. So that's kind of my feelings on it. But marijuana is in a totally different class. It's definitely not cocaine, it's not heroin, it's not meth, and it's not bath crystals. So let's go back into this article. The reason that Arizona law was not constitutional, and maintained that because the feds are free to enforce federal law if they choose to, and Arizona hasn't preempt the federal government from doing anything, in other words. But Gordon goes even further on this point and says that Arizona's system gives the feds a roadmap of enforcement, and if the feds choose to close down or bust an operation that sells marijuana, the dispensary locations will be easily identified. Arizona law might even assist the federal Controlled Substance Act in its goal, says Gordon. Clearly, the mere state authorizations are very limited amount of federal prescribed conduct under a tight regulation scheme and providing no meaningful obstacle for the federal enforcement. No one can argue that the federal government ability to enforce the CSA is impaired to the slightest degree. Indeed, the United States Supreme Court has been unequivocal to this point. So generally, instead of frustrating the CHS's purpose, it is sensible to argue that the AMMA furthers the CSA objective in combating drug abuse and the illegitimate trafficking of controlled substances. That's almost a joke. I mean, our government brings these drugs in here. We've got guys, guarding poppy seeds and plants and stuff like that in other countries. And that's what our military's doing. So, I mean, it's such an oxymoron. But at least the people in Arizona have spoken, and the judge agreed with them. So the medical marijuana law to open the dispensaries is on their way. So that's a big victory for the people who have spoken about natural health. Kudos to you, Arizona. And we are waiting to have that here in Colorado as well. Now let's continue that, and let's go into what was in the news today in Obamacare. It says right here, excuse me. The article is called How Not to Succeed in Business, A Promise to Dodge Obamacare Mandates. The company that owns the Olive Garden and Red Lobster advised earning projections downwards today. The culprit, at least in its part, is the negative media attention that the company received after promising to test limited workers' hours as a way to dodge the Obamacare insurance mandate. In light of these upcoming changes, we are being cautioned that our sales and earnings and forecast for a full year. Our outlook for the year also reflects the potential impact. Though difficulties to measure and recent negative media coverage have focused on the CEOs within the full service segment and how we might accommodate healthcare reform. Being tested, they're doing a testing of a plan under which would hire some part-time employees in October and would work fewer than 40 hours a week, and that would exempt the company from the health law mandates to provide health care insurance covering for a full-time employer, for a full-time worker. So you can see that companies are already starting to just, you know, no one's really liking it. Our doctors, no one's really liking it. We're sure they're not liking Obama communist care. The separate research for you government suggests that other restaurant chains have recently criticized the Affordable Care Act and have seen their favoritively dip shortly afterwards. That doesn't necessarily mean that Obamacare has suddenly gotten more popular with Americans boycotting Red Lobster in its defense, but the country was divided on the Affordable Care Act before the election, and accordingly to a new poll data, they have remained split over it. This might say that more of how Americans feel about their health care insurance. And as much as Americans have the negative opinion about large health care systems, they also tend to have pretty positive views on their own health insurance. In this data, it asked Americans whether they were satisfied with their health care plan and could find upwards of 80% of the respondents agreed with them, stating that they did enjoy the things the way that they are. There are even more indications of satisfactory going up, but including members of 141 health plans found a slight uptick into the scale of consumer insurance. Americans are still divided on Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, a.k.a. the Obamacare. That's not the case with health insurance, but the majorities tend to like their coverage and aren't fans of seeing it dropped. So that's one view. Businesses are going to start playing games with their employers. You know, we've already got an unemployment, so you're going back to work, and you might find something part-time that might develop into a full-time or whatever, but it's already starting, you know, companies are already starting to figure out clever ways to pretty much screw their employees, so that they don't have to pay for it and doesn't have to come out of their pocket. But that is the policy of a restaurant if they hired you. That's horrible. Let's go on to another article that I found, too. This is Today in Obamacare. Obamacare is not a sure thing. And this is what Phyllis says. Those who thought that Obamacare was set in concrete stone by Justice Department John Roberts' decision in June are in for a big shock. December the 14th. And this new deadline extended until November the 16th for states to let the feds know yay or nay or whether or not they will be settling up a health insurance exchange, which is the key to participating in this misnamed Patriot Protection and Affordable Care Act. Obama's belief that the public would warm up to his signature legislation once it became the law on the land has proven false. The current Kaiser Family Foundation poll reports that only 38% of the public approves of Obama communist care. Well, I just can't imagine why. I mean, basically, it's going to be horrible. Yes, I know that other countries are going to tell me, well, we've been doing this for years, and you know, America's the only one that got to decide in that. Well, I've also studied what your other countries have gone through if you're sick. And what I found was horrific. Even here in the United States, if you are on Medicaid, you still get good quality health care. But in other countries, the way that this Obamacare will be a lot like that, and let's take an example, Canada. Everybody thinks, oh, it's great. You know, everybody's got health insurance and everything like that. Well, I've watched some videos of people trying to get health care there and in dire emergency centers, and some of the places are closed on weekends, which I think is horrific. So I don't know. I'm not sold on this, so I am definitely not one of the 38% of the public that approves of Obama communist care. 16 states, including Virginia, Wisconsin, Ohio, Missouri, have told the feds that they are declining to play ball. They have also given notice to the federal government that they are refusing to set up a health exchange, which means it falls into federal government to set up exchanges for those states. Oh, God, we can only imagine. Only 17 states have committed to set up a health exchange of Obamacare expected, but while the other states are still wrestling with their decision, Republican and Tea Parties are encouraging them not to set up an exchange. Among the good reasons for these states to say no is that an exchange would cost each state between $10 million to $100 million a year, and that would require unwelcome tax increases. Ohio estimated that setting up its exchange will cost them $63 million plus $43 million to run it annually. A state-created exchange provides a mechanism for HHS. That's the Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. Sorry. To impose a one-size-fits-all rule on insurance products sold in the United States. And it also makes it easier for the federal government to regulate individuals and businesses in that state, collecting fines, taxes from some in order to fine sublines to others. Nevertheless, you can be sure that the blame will fall on state officials when Obamacare increases insurance premiums and denies care to the elderly. And that is something else that I read that really disturbed me. The elderly are the ones that are going to really hurt with this. Now, I want you to think about in war. We are in war. I mean, we might as well call it World War III. I mean, we've got some pretty heavy stuff going on in war right now. Pretty bad. But the people that like the elderly, they got rid of them. They got rid of the disabled. They got rid of them. You know, if you couldn't be a part of the war, whether to fight for your tyrants, you know, be a part of to fight for the tyrants, you're just no use to the whole regime, you know, including your government. You know, there was something you had to contribute as a part of that. Our elderly, God bless them, they have built this country. They have worked hard. It's time for them to retire. It's time for them to enjoy their later years. And the elderly will be hit the hardest in this. You know, if you're able to take care of your parents, please do. You know, don't let them fall into the cracks of this Obamacare. You know, take care of your parents and do whatever is necessary to protect them during this up-and-coming events that's going to hit us very hard next year. Even if states refuse to create a federal control exchange, it will give the federal government, One positive effect of the states refusing to set up this exchange might be a good way to reduce federal spending and the debt. If the states decline, it is estimated that the federal deficit could be reduced to about $700 billion in 10 years. Can the federal government be as big as it is and cope with this tax? It can't be easy, and it could take only 2 to 3 years to build that technology since they are starting with Medicaid and 1980s technology. Another way states can throw a roadblock into Obamacare and also reduce their own spending is making a second decision not to sign on to Obamacare's expansion of Medicaid. That's sad because, I mean, I'm poor and we're grateful. We've had some Medicaid, but when we did good, we had really good insurance, so I'm kind of grateful for that. My son is on Medicaid because my son has a traumatic birth brain injury, and it's going to be really difficult for him to get care. So I worry about the disabled and some of those. But, you know, as far as other people milking the system, I think this is a good thing. I have met people who have milked the system. I'm shocked at how people have learned how to just take, and they don't need it. They just don't need it. So the people that do need it, we need to be concerned about them. The Supreme Court Obamacare decision assures that the states in their right to say no to participating in this Medicaid expansion. I don't believe that, but okay, fine. That's what the article says. It says that each state can participate not to, but I don't believe that. I mean, we're fixing to go into a one-world government, one-world currency, and yes, folks, a one-world way that they will mandate your medical care. So I don't believe that, but we're going to read the article anyway. Medicaid costs are already bankrupting state governments and increasing costs of private insurance. At the same time, Medicaid payments for services renders are so low that the patients have trouble finding physicians and other healthcare providers who accept them. And that's true. So many people have gotten displaced from global disasters. So many people have gotten on Medicaid based on unemployment. And then, of course, the ones that were always having it or needed it, it's just really racked the system. And now doctors or healthcare providers will not accept people because they're overloaded. I mean, there's only one doctor to so many people, and it's really difficult. It has been estimated that Obamacare medical provisions can cost the state as much as $53 billion over the next 10 years. Now, wait a minute. It just said that it would reduce, but then it said that this would increase $53 billion over 10 years. But neither of the states nor the federal government has the money to expand Medicaid. Medicaid is already the layer of waste and fraud. That's true. Let's get rid of that fraud. How about all these psychiatrists prescribing psychotropic medications, all these ones that are in million-billion-dollar lawsuits for fraud and damage and death and consumers? How about let's not build that to Medicaid and save these people's life and get some better care for them? And also all this fraud with all these, you know, diabetes drugs, heart medicines. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Big Pharma, what a joke. I mean, these people just make a lot of money. Nobody's getting cured. Anybody cured out there once you've been diagnosed with something? I mean, you know, your chances of maybe be getting cured with cancer. But diabetes is forever, you know, and a lot of these other things are forever, they say. And a lot of these psychotropic medications or medications in general actually make people worse, and they do not help them. And then they have to take a pill for something else because it gave them something else instead of helping them. Obamacare is massive and costly, a double-barreled expansion, overnight. Obamacare will add 30 million people to the government enrollment rolls, an overwhelming task for Obama administration. Tell your state legislator to reject the state health care exchange and also to reject an expansion of Medicaid, so simply cannot afford either, literally. All right, so that's a very interesting article. I mean, you know, we need to know what's going on in Obamacare. It's going to hit us pretty soon. One more article about Obamacare, and then we're going to move on. Obamacare is the cure for what ails you, Alabama, not the disease. That's the name of the article. Denial, as they say it goes, is not just a river in Egypt. Alabamans are not known for as a healthy group. They are more likely to have a baby than an average they are more likely to have a baby die than the average American, and they are more likely to have diabetes and heart disease, and they are more likely to die early. My goodness, I didn't know that about Alabama. But, you know, Alabama's really had a hard time with all the floods and tornadoes and stuff. So we go into Obamacare that was passed 2 years ago. It contains a tool for Alabamans to use to change these things. Some denials, we have problem, but they deny it as doctors and move away from many communities in Alabama, leaving them without health care. They look at the tools that have been given to them and claim that they would ignore the new law or, worse, obstruct it in hopes that they can bring others down with us. Whoa. Whoa. Prior to the presidential election, the deniers claimed that the Obamacare would lead to jobs being lost as employers sought relief, with the exception of high-profile bosses such as CEOs of Papa John Pizzas, who choose to make a point that this has not happened, and in truth, employers are looking forward to being able to pay one policy that will work across the state lines. And an international employee such as Airbus or Kia are looking forward to paying rates closer to those in home countries. Excuse me. Personally, I want my pizza delivery to have the access to home care so that he will be disease free while making my pizza. But I also want my city to be attractive to desirable industries such as Airbus. The deniers claim that the Obamacare is unacceptable because it creates a set of rules that go against the state authorities. Having grown up with civil rights era, I have come to accept that occasionally the national interest comes across as perceived interest for the whole state as a whole. Obamacare also allows flexibility for those states who want to experiment on their own. Health insurance exchanges are examples of just that. Just because we have chosen not to create one does not mean that we don't have the opportunity. Our ability to deny the expansion of Medicaid, and no matter how ill-advised, is an example of this as well. So now we kind of got a grasp of what people are saying about Obamacare that's out there. I am going to – oh, and I have a caller come in for a question. Hi, you're live on Recharge Radio Reporters. I have a call from 111.
Yes, that's me. Hey, Suarez, first started out your show on the organic food.
Oh, yes.
Hey, I'm a small farmer and also a trucker. And I have a trucking company, and we haul our own products as well as others. And we farm in Washington City under the naturally grown seal. And I try to educate. There's quite a bit of us, over 8,000 farmers that I know of, that are farming underneath that seal for two reasons. One, it's much higher standards than organic, which means you can use pesticides. And number two is we don't have the government coming in and saying, you have to do this, this, or this if you want the USRDA organic seal. It's much more affordable. I think that last year my license for that was $56.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah, yeah, and the organic seal's around $2,500, I think, mm-hmm. went up. And what it is one farmer under the naturally grown seal, he comes in a consortium of farmers, he checks on the other farmer. Now we have our criteria, and we just, you know, we follow these real strict criteria, and we check on each other. So I just want to put that out there for people looking
for
alternatives. Yeah, you bet, you bet. Because
it's so good to know things because, you know, I've just been so sad what's happened, you know, to our farmers. I mean, we would need if it wasn't for you. I mean, we owe a lot to you. And it's just kind of sad what the government's done to some farmers. I'm so glad that it's not happening to you. You know, and some of the people that you were just referring to. That's so interesting. So you're natural versus organic or?
Naturally grown. Organic.
Naturally
only.
Grown. Got it.
That's the seal, yeah, Washington State. And remember, organic, you can use pesticides in organic growing. People don't realize that.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, sure. And we don't get into a lot of places that are large supermarkets.
Do you do more of a farmer's market, sir?
Yes, we do. And, I have 17 trucks, and we run to a lot of different consortiums. And, in fact, I was on the food of that small 5-acre mandarin orange grower in California, thinking I could move her freight. So, naturally grown, check that seal out. I thought that would be
That is so interesting. Thank you for giving me that is so vital to know because, you know, that was so beneficial. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. And I hope the listeners heard that and they can check that out as well.
Oh, sure. And like I say, I'm proof feels me pretty well, and I'll probably do some advertising here.
Well, that's
shortly.
Okay. Well, we got to, right? We got to be creative these days.
you have to. You have
to. It's word of mouth and, you know, helping each other.
Oh, sure. And one of the things that healthcare is, there's a great guy Bruce has had on his show once or twice, and a friend of mine out of Rainier Distilleries. He sells still. And my goodness, if you have a refrigerator or a toaster, you should have a still. It should be like an essential part of everyone's household goods.
You're talking about a still like water, sir?
Well, you can use it to distill fuel. You can use it to distill oil. You can use your essential oil, excuse me. You can use it to distill your water. On it goes. One of the big things in Washington State that I'm going to be attempting here for my truck is to distill my own diesel through basically avocados that don't sell. I bring them back from like a farmer's market and I distill them. Because otherwise they're going to be rotten and thrown out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what the law is. It's just passed in Washington about hemp. But my goodness, if hemp can be grown in Washington, I'm not interested in the marijuana, but I'm interested in it for insulation, for fuel, renewable resources for fuel. The Constitution, like I say, is written on hemp. We won World War II off of hemp. The founding people of the country were huge on hemp because it provides everything. And I'm not an advocate of marijuana smoking except for the sick that need relief of pain. I just want to contribute a few comments and say, you've got to stop saying, well, they won't let me. We've got to take things and say, as long as it's, naturally, the natural law is not going to harm anybody. Let's look at getting together as groups and saying with our local officials, hey, let's do this. So I just wanted to make those comments and thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for calling in. That was very interesting. I'm going to actually look that up. I lived in Washington briefly and went to aviation school, but kind of cashed out when 9/11 happened. Washington's beautiful. I live in Colorado, so it's just pretty much just the same, just as lovely. Well, thank you for calling in, and you have a great day.
Hey, I just wanted to say real quick before I go, that is a very tyrannical state to truck through, Colorado State. They issue tickets with a $2.50 blood surcharge DNA pool on there. And,
do they? I was wondering why our food costs higher here, but they say it's their trucking.
Well, I received a citation for registration, which the states allow on the bottom of our commercial vehicle registration, 30 days to allow your entity to be placed within your vehicle because to get it out to you, they give you a window. And Officer Hamilton at the Four Corners there, Cortez County, said that she didn't want to honor that. It was up to her discretion. So she issued me a citation for that, which all the other states took it except Officer Hamilton. And it said blood DNA pool surcharged. I asked her what that was for. She said anyone arrested in Colorado for a felony, his blood is drawn. And I said, wow, that's, judge, jury, and executioner all at once. It violates the Fourth Amendment. She said, well, that's how it is. So I said, what if the felon is found not upheld by a jury of the person's peers? She said, well, I don't know about that. So I find that Colorado is pretty tyrannical in their system of government.
It is. Actually, to be honest with you, Colorado, just to give you, some basis, Colorado had NASA, the CIA move here, and Obama comes here a lot. And the talk is, and of course we don't know just yet, but the talk is that Washington, D.C. will be destroyed for some reason or left, but Colorado will be the new United States White House location.
I believe that. I've heard a lot.
Yeah, they're very corrupt here. It's amazing what I see in my state, and I'm an advocate here, and I just it's almost better just to beat your head against the wall because there's not much you're going to change here.
No, and in fact, I issued that court a bill of exchange to pay the fine that they requested, which was $168.
Mercy.
Yeah. Well,
That they actually, from what I've heard too, as far as police officers go, they train a majority of police officers in Colorado for other states.
Oh, sure. It's a uniform.
Something about Colorado with their police departments and stuff. I mean, what's even sadder? If you go to mental health sites, my son has a brain injury, so I'm just kind of giving you some feedback. But if you go to mental health sites and you look at the board of directors of the mental health boards, a majority of them are police officers and sheriff's departments.
And that's what, that right there, we don't educate our law enforcement, military on, you know, the rights of the citizen.
Yes.
And I do that. Every police officer I run into, I call them law enforcement because they're not even peace officers anymore. They're law enforcers.
And we've fought hard for that as advocates to train our police officers. Actually, our police officers are getting better in health in dealing with mental health patients.
Sure.
And I mean, they're getting better. We just would like to see judges and other people who would be a part of a ruling to be a lot more educated in mental health as well, because then they make the decisions, you know.
Oh, sure. And if you can hold the judges accountable, then the police officers be more willing to serve you like they're supposed to, because they know they're taking you in front of the judge and themselves and their actions. And the only way I know how to do it is, there's several ways, but it's very difficult, let's put it that way, is to become a secured party. The only way that I have found to, you know, have any kind of status other than that corporate citizenship in the courts, because all the courts are, like I found out with Cortez County, is just a corporational court, and they're not even, you know, they're not judges, they're administrators, and, you know, that's something I follow passionately, because I don't see a remedy if someone can't pay. And they won't be with this Obama health care. My drivers are going on a plan called MediShare.
MediShare, what is that, sir?
It's a Christian health care.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's currently exempt from the Obamacare.
Oh, good. We don't want to be. No.
Well, that might be something, an alternative for people listening. MediShare is not available in Montana. But I pay myself $150, $160 a month for $2 million worth of coverage a year. My deductible is $5,000, but I never use it. But it's a way for people that might want to look at how do I exempt myself, get out of this Obamacare.
Well, I think I'm going to look into that, because we made a decision. I'm a single mother. And because of my son's illness, I have four children. He's my baby. We've had a harder time because of his brain injury. But we've made a decision now that we've become quite aware that we're just not going to, you know, we're not going to lean on the system. We're going to figure out different ways so we don't get a part of this beast. We don't want to be, you know, we used it when we needed it, but we're going to try really hard to make better decisions so we can elude that, get away from it completely.
Sure.
It's called Meta what, sir?
Meta Share, like you share
Meta
something.
Meta Share. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
Poor thing, I was going to tell you that I found to be very interesting in part of my advocacy and working with people globally. I run a mental health advocacy group and work with a lot of very high-end people in the mental health field. And when you were talking about paying that, I have found that some of those, down at the bottom of it, when you'll read, I'm not sure if it was on your ticket or as a part of that, but where it'll say, this is paid to the order of blah, 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 what we're finding is a lot of that's fraud. It's an organization that doesn't exist.
Right. Bill of exchange.
Parents that have to pay court fees or something or things like that the court orders, a lot of those court fees, they're not even a legitimate anything, and everybody's on the take and the kickback.
Absolutely. I didn't even have to deal with that ticket until recently. That was in 2010. After I issued my bill of exchange, I got a call from a collection company saying that they wanted $200-some. And I said, wait a sec, I paid the bill for the bill of exchange. And so I've got to settle that matter. But it goes to show you, there's no warrant issued for my arrest in Colorado. No warrant, because I paid it. So it's really interesting that this court, that is a corporation, gives the money over to a collection agency.
There you go.
Yeah, they're not. They are not a de jure court. They are a corporation. They have investors. They have a credit rating on Dun & Bradstreet. So I'm enjoying going through the process of enforcing my status.
Turning the corruption.
And it's we don't help one another with these matters. The Obamacare, the surveillance bill, it's so tyrannical. I always point out sections 2025, starting on page 1000 and 1001. Have you been over that section?
Say it again for me, sir. I was sorry. I was researching something I was going to talk to you about in a minute. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Could you say it for me one more time?
Sure. Sections 2025.
What is section 2025?
It begins on page 1000, goes through 1001. It says all March 23rd, 2013, all participants shall receive an onboard class 2 or 3 RFID implantable life-sustaining or life-supporting device system called the National Medical Registry Device.
Oh, yes, I have heard of that. Yes, I didn't recognize it by that number, but yes, I have heard of that.
Okay,
yes.
And the main language of that was actually passed in 2010, House of Representatives Bill 3200, and it says not less than 36 months, basically, to start beginning to take action. So that puts it at March 23rd, 2013. Interesting to put the puzzle piece together of the Fed ending in 2013 and the new money beginning. Just a theory, but that they move this all electronic system.
Oh, God. Isn't it scary? I mean, you know what, but it's kind of good because, I mean, we kind of know what the enemy is up to. And we can make some plans, and we can, you know, we can try to elude this the best that we can. There was something else that I was going to tell you about. Colorado is their tolls. I don't know if you've ever heard anything horrible about our tolls, and I'll give you a for instance. If you ever get on the highway and you hit a Colorado toll, it's only a dollar. I think it's $1.50 or something like that to go through the toll. But if you go through and you don't have any money, then it takes a picture of your car, right, and it sends you a bill. Well, it doesn't send you a bill for $1.50. It sends you a bill for $17. If you don't pay that, it turns into $21. If you don't pay that, it goes into a collection company, and they charge you $44 or God knows how much. And if you ever understood about anything about a collection company, they buy people's debt, like, for pennies, and then turn around and make a lot of money off of it.
Well,
and
a really, really good thing to help people with collection companies is a free service. It's called FudgeLies. It's L-I-E-S in your .com. And it's a free service, a big call, as a lot of the members there regularly sue pro persona, pro per se, means by you or me, not as an attorney, in court, the debt collectors weekly, and they put their checks up on the screen so you can see, because these debt collection companies are third parties, and you don't have an agreement with them. But what lies, L-I-E-S, in your debt.com, free to listen to, free to look at all of the checks recovered weekly from debt collectors. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking.
People are criminal. They're like a mob. They're like crime. It's like such a scandal.
Sure.
It's such a scam. Excuse me, not scandal. It's a scam.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. I enjoyed talking to you. I have to go to a commercial break, and please call again because I really enjoyed chatting with you today. And safe journey. Safe journey to you, and blessings for all, you know, all that you do to feed us. I'm so appreciative to you. And you taught me something really, really nice today. I learned some new things from you. I'm so, so grateful. Are you still there? Oh, I guess he said goodbye. Okay, we're going to take some commercial breaks, and we're going to get back with Recharge Radio Reporters after our commercial breaks, and we are grateful to our sponsors that keep us live on the air.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea. Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com. Hey, guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solavay.com/freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, solavay.com/freedomizer.
And we are back live on the air, and my name is Godsent Angel, and we are going to go back into the news again, and then I'm going to have a guest on. I wanted to talk about something really quick before I have my guest on. The storm that's happening in the Philippines, really horrific storm that's happening to them right there. Just read that briefly. I'm going to bring my Recharge radio reporter on. 81 dead in the Philippines. At least 81 have died from the onslaught of the typhoon that hit on Tuesday. 43 people have died in the flash flood that have swept away the Army patrol base, and a landslide hit that community, and trees fell down on the people at the heights of the typhoon. On the way to the disaster site, I also met a man who said that his two-year-old child died because of the typhoon. My prayers just go out to the Philippines right now. Oh, my God. So sad, the global disasters that we're seeing right now and all the people that are lost. It was also saying that 23 other were injured while six soldiers remain missing. Their army, their 10th infantry division was hit in this typhoon, wiped out a lot of their military patrol. I pray that this was not the reason to stir up this typhoon. It's so horrific and god-awful sad. My prayers go out to the Philippines right now. And then you take my live caller, one of our reporters. Hi, Pierre. You're on the air.
Hey, Kat. How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. I hope you're feeling better.
I'm a train wreck, but I'll do all right, Angel. I'll do all right. Hello, everyone. I'm going to be adding in onto the international perspective of what's going on here. Let's go to Syria. We have issues over there of reports of chemical weapons being potentially manned and or armed for deployment. Overnight, Assad's chemical forces within his military went out overnight from Damascus to their older city, the oldest city in Syria, Aleppo, which also, I believe, has a high Christian population as well, much like Homs and other cities. But I believe Aleppo is the one that has the highest Christian population there. But anyway, the chemical that are going to be used, at least from what I've learned from the Hagmans, the Northeast Intelligence Network at HomelandSecurityUS.com, it's sarin. And I can't really go too much into sarin. I don't have all my info up on that. But I do know that when you get exposed to sarin, if you don't get treatment within minutes, it's pretty much over. And they're going to be using this potentially with self-propelled artillery units. What a self-propelled artillery piece is nothing more than a gigantic gun placed on tank treads. And depending on the size, probably 155-millimeter howitzer, that round can travel at a great distance and do a lot of damage to someone. Now, is Assad really going to pull out all the stops? Well, you know, he did mention months back if foreign intervention were to come in, he was going to take steps to do things. Well, here it is, folks. It's about to get very real. And we could say, yes, this is a false flag operation, but chemical weapons, false flag or not, it's no joke. And images of
Let our listeners know that you were in the military. So
I served in the United States Marine Corps for well over 12 years. I was an officer in the infantry and did military intelligence. That being said, I take the threats to be very credible. The sources I go through are very credible in what they have to explain on such things as well. Even the open source ones. And the fact is that the end game is about to be played. It's like all the little pieces of the chessboard, just this great collective of false flag, one world order chess moves is about to happen. And it's just another form, if you really want to look down to it as brass tacks, folks, it's nothing more than population control, which is sad. Because it's come down to this. And, you know, here we are, a very developed country, Syria is developed. A lot of those Middle Eastern countries, even though they've been, some of them have hurt really bad and been blown back, have developed and come a long ways, only to have places where they can create chemical and biological weapons. I mean, really? The folks who've heard me before, yeah, I'm not putting in a lot of military bearing in what and how I report things, because on the trade-off of being a civilian is you get to see things a lot of up close and personal. I don't have restrictions placed on me, but I still have to be careful what I say and what I do. I think this is totally screwed up. I'm not going to subscribe to political correctness saying that Obama is going to take control of this, and don't worry, the White House is threatening this if you do this and do that. It's what they want, folks. This is all part of the plan. And when this thing goes down, make no mistake, because you see, he said that all the time. Make no mistake this. I can't be.
Yeah.
I can't be.
This is a lot. He's a repeat offender.
Repeat offender, I swear. But the bottom line, gang, is we're going to have boots on the ground. We already have them in the surrounding areas, like in Jordan and what have you, with our special ops teams and stuff. Our tier one operatives are out there getting ready to do their thing.
Great.
so are the other countries, or they're ready to go. It's just like they're waiting for the balloon to go up. Now, these troops, let's get one thing straight. I'm speaking up for the troops here. They're doing what they're ordered to do. They're not playing politics here. They're not saying we're doing this for BHO because BHO is the man. No. These men have sworn to take an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You must understand this, because I took that oath. That oath still holds with me to this day, even though I'm out. Because it's also a covenant with God, if you really want to get with the spiritual aspects of it, because at the end of every statement as such, so help me God.
Mm-hmm.
We take it very seriously.
Yes.
And we're going to lose men in the process of getting these operations done. And this is a proxy war. Are these guys aware of this? I bet you dollars to dimes they are. But they're in the uniform. They're in active service. They got to do their job. And even though this might be an engineered thing, these guys are going to do everything in their power to prevent stupid stuff like this from happening. They tried it once. We saw what happened. That was called Benghazi. And we saw several key flag officers get removed from posts for reasons of affairs or some other wonderful thing that I'm sure Valerie Jarrett, his international security advisor, had prompted him to remove people. Mind you, this is the woman that said that they were promised revenge once he was back in office. Well, he's in office and a revenge is being handed out, folks. It's being handed out in a big way. And this war is all just a big aspect of it.
It's a bloodline war. It's you know, because in prophecy, everything is about, you know, it's the good against the bad, you know.
But then we go into the whole point, Angel, of predestination, if we're going to go into this route of conversation, because...
Yep.
And that means we have no choice in things. And as human beings, we have the freedom of choice to do this, to do that, to do A, B, or C. But there's consequences, you know, that follow after that. And we're going through that. Now, is this divine providence? I wouldn't doubt that it is, but I really put stock in that there are people that are so insane and disconnected with our world that they believe that it's their divine right to usher in the end of times.
Yep.
And to do that is to play with some very serious fire. And it's, like I said, it's happening. It's about to go down. It's about to seriously go down here. On to another subject other than Syria. Egypt is a very, very interesting situation here, folks. Why? Because Mohamed Morsi, or Mercy, however you want to look at him, is one of the prominent figureheads of the Muslim Brotherhood. And we know how big they are expanding right now. We're looking at potential revolution in Jordan. The Saudis are definitely wetting in their pants over this because they know just how influential the MB is, no doubt backed by Iran. This really boils down to Sunni and Shia, if you really want to get down to brass tacks with that. But I'll get into that in a little bit here, folks, so we can connect the dots. The issue here is the people of Egypt have said enough. Now, mind you, never in modern times have we seen people get up and say, you know what, it's time for you to get out of office. You know, we're not going to stand for what you're putting up on here, going against our Constitution, telling us this and this and this and this when it's wrong. Their SCAF did that, which stands for the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces of Egypt, SCAF. They did that after Hosni Mubarak was removed. And we saw how that went. And now Morsi came in, promised all these wonderful things, which sounds very reminiscent of a particular president that we all know. And unlike the president that we all know, Morsi didn't even joke around. He went right to the point to do what needed to be done with his agenda. And his agenda is still rolling. Now it's fragile. He went too far with it. And I could see the people actually rising up, as we're seeing right now, in total revolution to take him out by any means necessary.
Oh, and may I put something in there? at the beginning of this year, they already took out in Egypt their leader. Remember that? In January, they took out their leader. And you know how they did it? The Egyptian leader sent out the police and the military to kill the people, you know, to stop the protesting. And what happened is the people said, "We're doing it for you.
Exactly.
We're standing up for you." The military and the police, and then the police and the military joined them, and they took their tyrant out of office, put him on trial, and actually decided that they would kill him. I haven't been following the story, but I have to interject that in there because that is really interesting. Egypt went through that the beginning of this year, and now look what's happening still. They've got a new tyrant, and go ahead, Pierre.
Yeah, which is interesting that you say that, Angel, because after their leader Mubarak was removed, SCAF, the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, was doing the same damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that changed, and now you have this guy in there. Now, no violence is broken out in terms of people getting gunned down or sniped or anything like that. But what we're looking at here is this. This is the basic premise that I'm setting here, folks, for all of you that are listening. Look at what's happening when you got a group of people who decided to say enough is enough. And they've been doing it peacefully. Now, here we are in America talking about all doing things peacefully, this peacefully, do that, let's get grassroots organizations, do this, let's do that. And what do we see going on here, Angel? These very organizations that try to get up get stomped or compromised by COINTELPRO ops or what have you, right?
Yeah, we've seen it globally. We've seen people being kicked in the face, hit in the face. We've seen, you know, people tasered, people, you know, tear gassed. We've seen, you know, people bludgeoned with, you know, nightclubs, you know, and we've done this globally. You know, kudos to this world for fighting back against these tyrants and these mass genocides, crazy psychopaths.
But you see, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, these people didn't have to worry about starting any kind of political organization or faction to try to petition this and try to petition that. They knew that they weren't going to be able to get what they want through such means. They took it to the next level because they saw what happened when they tried that initially. It got bloody. People started getting knocked off for unknown reasons. Then the mass protests started, and look what you have. And I can see the same thing happening here. And people that are listening right now, you know what's going on. Those of you who are listening but don't really know, we're on that cusp too as well. Only the difference is it's the United States of America.
Yeah.
And we are no longer the land of the free, but we still are the home of the brave.
And remember, we discovered that we were owned. We were we've always
owned, folks.
It's our birth certificates and anything that's in a capital letter, that means you're owned.
Yeah,
your name is capitalized, you're owned. And that's your Social Security, that's your birth certificate, folks.
Exactly.
And you know what I think, too, about Egypt? You know, they saw this big victory in January, how they brought their tyrant down. They brought him to justice. And I think that in some ways they're thinking they're going to see the same thing. And I pray that they reach it. But the new world order is getting more power. It is gaining momentum and it is coming together. So I don't know if Egypt will be able this time to protest for their constitutional rights like they did in January. And they won in January. So
here's
I don't
what I
know.
Think on that. The thing is that with the New World Order, the New World Order has its agenda, but the New World Order is not in sync with the rise of the new Islamic Caliphate. The Islamic Caliphate doesn't want to have anything to do with the New World Order. They are their own New World Order. It has nothing to do with what's currently going on with the NWO that we know. This is a distinction that people need to understand. Because even though these Arab Springs were breaking out and that, yeah, we engineered it and other countries may have engineered it or what have you, the powers that be, let's put it that way, not the people, but the powers that be that felt that this just had to happen, it's gotten out of control. It's like I said, control chaos is one thing, but what happens when it takes on a life all its own and the end results that you expect it to be don't turn out to be the way you want it? The Muslim Brotherhood is no joke.
And
okay.
I would like for you to talk a little bit about the Muslim Brotherhood, because, you know, we're seeing all our tax dollars going to the Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood, the MB? Yeah.
Obama. Obama's giving them big bucks.
Well, that's funny. I did a post on that.
People are getting all mad at me because they love Obama, and I've been going, look what he's doing. He's giving your dollars to the Muslim Brotherhood.
The thing is that you can't. You cannot, and this is for everyone that's listening, you cannot convince people who are so thoroughly enmeshed psychologically and emotionally into a particular personality, you know, for them to change their mind. They have to wake up on their own. You can give them all the paraphernalia. You could talk to them all you want. You can say whatever you need to say to them, but at the end of the day, they're still going to think that so-and-so is the man and that you're a kook. They have to wake up on their own.
Are just like Jamie Foxx calling him the new Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Jamie Foxx at the BET Awards.
Jamie calls Obama the new Jesus Christ. There we go.
He said, I'm trying to remember this. I'm not sure if I can do this word for word, folks, but
I'll look it up.
He gave thanks to God. He did that on the air. He gave thanks to God. Then he says, also give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama.
There you go. That's exactly what he said, word for word. That was quoted.
Now, when that came out, when I saw that, I'm like, dude, we share the same skin color for real?
Yeah. Scary.
I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
That blew my mind because I've never seen blasphemy done in such a more brazen and arrogant way and on international TV, because BET's watched outside the United States too as well, no doubt. But
normally when celebrities or anybody says stuff like that, the press is quick and everybody's quick to just jump all over them.
But they didn't.
He didn't get jumped on. Jamie got... You know, his limelight, and he said what he had to say, and a lot of people liked it, I guess. I don't know. And I didn't like it.
Here's the reason, though. It's simple. The reason why the press didn't burn him is because, bottom line, everyone's erasing God out of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There is no other real explanation. We can go into the propaganda, how the machine works on it, but the bottom line is the elimination of Christ, of the Word of God, of following His tenets. You know, it doesn't matter if you're gay or lesbian or any of that. There's plenty of people I know who are gay or lesbian that are Christians. But the fact of the matter is, people are turning their back. And Christians will be persecuted. We are witnessing this in this day and age. It's happening. Syria, folks, once again, going back to Syria, is a perfect example of Christians being terminated with extreme prejudice. And certain parts of Africa, it is happening where Christians are being terminated with extreme prejudice by Muslim extremists. I mean, we are living the Crusades here, everyone. We really are. And you're believers in God and in the Word, you'll know what I'm saying is true. Pray on it. Ask for discernment. It's there. That to me is just, it's horrible, but it's the way of the world right now. It's the times that we live in, and we got to write it out. But that's what I have in terms of the Syrian situation and the New World Order. And the Muslim Brotherhood, which we will get into again, for sure. Remind me next time I'm on with you that we'll touch up on the Muslim Brotherhood. We have to do more research.
I have to read you something that will blow your mind. This was just out.
Mm-hmm.
Veterans gun rights trigger a defense bill tussle. A major defense bill spending hit an unexpected bump on its journey through the U.S. Senate over the amendment over veterans' guns rights. Veterans' guns rights.
I read that. I remember that.
The heated floor debate and overshadows a political battle over Democrats vowing to tweak the filibuster's rules in the clubby traditional collective body. The senator of Oklahoma wants the veterans who have been deemed mentally incompetent to have their case jurisdiction by a judge rather than the Department of Veterans Affairs. And it happens, as currently argued, that veterans who simply cannot support themselves financially are nevertheless given the label and as such cannot even buy or possess farmers. They're screwing our vets up. I mean, this New World Order is hurting our vets. And not only that, we fought, as a global mental health advocate, I fought for the PTSD to be recognized in our troops. We won that battle, but now they're giving our veterans the psychotropic medications that are killing them with heart attacks. I'll go back into the article. It says, "We are not asking for anything big," says Tom, the Oklahoma Republican, on Thursday's evening floor, the Senate floor. "We are just asking that if you're going to take away the Second Amendment rights, that they ought to have it jurisdictioned rather than mandated by somebody unqualified to state that they should lose their rights."
No.
Horrific. Says, he goes on to say, "I love our veterans, and I vote for them every time, and they defend us. But if they're mentally ill, whether you're a veteran or not, just like a felon, and if you're a veteran or not, you should be judged to be mentally infirmed and should not be able to have a gun." What a crock of poop, because the whole mental issue, the whole mental health issue is nothing but fraud. I mean, in a majority ways. Post-traumatic stress syndrome is real in our troops, but when they start giving them these multi-labels other than PTSD and start pumping them with psychotropic medications, which I keep trying to tell everybody, the basis of these medications are opium, meth, and cocaine. You cannot treat somebody who's been traumatized with class 3 narcotics and expect them to get better. They're going to be more
unstable.
Yes. So what is best for them is to because, and here's another problem, and you just stated it in the beginning when you were talking to me. And my son is in the military. My brother was taught chemical warfare. He was actually given the position to go be to work under George Bush at the White House. My brother, being a military person, cannot talk about it. You can't talk about certain things, Pierre. I know you can't. My son can't. My brother couldn't. And he could not tell us what happened when they let him go. We go back into that. If these troops cannot talk about their post-traumatic stress syndrome in a open way, that is more mentally damaging to them to be able to hold on to secrets because they can't talk about stuff that goes on in the military. I understand the secrecy. I understand that we have to be secret. I don't like spies. But we've got to be able to let our troops be able to talk about some of this stuff, and that's going to help their mental state. It's different than a person that was abused.
Exactly. It's like this. We're trained to do, depending on what it is that you're doing in the service, folks, I'm going to just go from the combat experience, from that side, being in combat arms. They train us to do a lot of interesting things in order to survive and feel, and to make sure, you know, the buddy next to us makes it back. That's how we are. We're tight like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're trained to do these things, but when you're in a world, in the real world, as we call it, the real world being the civilian world, when you're in the real world, no one ever trains you how to turn it off. That doesn't mean we're psychotic. It doesn't mean that we're mentally or emotionally, psychologically imbalanced. It just means no one taught us how to turn things off. So a lot of us have to go through self-discipline on that.
Mm-hmm.
But those who suffered post-traumatic stress disorders, that's par for the course because of the places that we've been and the things that we've done in the name of, you know, God and country, per se.
And the form of brainwashing to be able to be what the military requires, you know, a lot of brain,
here's a parallel to this or connection. And I think everyone who's listening will agree with me on this. Yes, we have a lot of troops that are committing suicide. We have troops that have PTSD and so forth. It's not their fault.
No.
The government's fault, because government keeps forcing them to go do repeated tours. They just got back home, and oh, guess what? A few months later, your unit's redeploying. Are you for real?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to morale, welfare, and recreation? But
you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in David's troops, and this is when King David was ruled. The rule was, and God said, too, God gave this rule, that troops, whenever they first got married, the first year of their marriage, they were not allowed to go and serve their country. We don't see that. We see them just get married. They just had a baby. So what? So what? You know, it's your time. Your time's up. Go. Just go.
And
you know, and what that does, that's the breakdown of the family right there.
Yeah, the complete destruction of the family unit, the basic unit.
Destruction of the family unit.
And and the thing is, Angel, what we're looking at here is it's asymmetrical. I'm going to use that term because it's hitting us on all different levels, but at the same time, the destruction of the family unit, the breakdown of the defender of the country, the bleeding out of our forces for something of a much larger, more insidious plan. A commander-in-chief who says, we're not going to pay for anything because you volunteered to go out there, so if you got wounded, you have to pay for it.
And
I'm surprised he's still in office because no one has the balls to step up to remove him. Yes, I said that, folks. No one has the balls to remove him. And he's illegitimate. He's not an American, and yet he sits in the highest office of the land because the people wanted him there. Stupid, blind people who never heard of him, and then one day he was on the spotlight. But I'll save that discussion for another day. As you
well,
saw,
maybe they didn't necessarily want him. He just got, you know, because we were learning, too, that a lot of these people, they're all family. You know, the song, We Are Family, you know,
yeah,
all my brothers and sisters
Fletch.
And me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the New World Order, they're all interconnected. They're all related. And it's you're born into this position. You don't just rise to this position. You don't get really voted in. Maybe some of your senators do in your states, but not the big boys, not the big dogs. They run with a certain type of crowd, and they're family, you know.
And here's the connection, folks, that I was going to make with this, the closing point connection to this. Now we're looking at a military that's become decreasingly human and then more technological, more automated, which goes back into the Terminator scenario.
Yeah.
And where now you're going to have drones fight the wars.
Oh,
you're going to have.
So
yeah, you see where I'm going with this. They're already trying to eliminate the need for human made for humans piloting aircraft. Now it's just going to be eventually drones, where it'll probably be limited artificial intelligence. Elements only knows where that's going to go. It's a bad thing. And this connects with this other story that I saw here. It's on investmentwatchblog.com. Dated December 4th of this year. Google is building Skynet. This is the real December 21st, 2012 singularity event. And just go with me on this, folks. I won't be long on this. Ray Kurzweil is working with Google on the next generation of AI, artificial intelligence. Google is close, dear friends, with the Obama regime. Kurzweil is currently building a software system that will enable not only to think like a human brain, but to be able to predict what other brains are thinking.
That's so scary.
In addition, he said within 10 years, your PC, or personal computer, will be the size of a single red blood cell and will be 1 billion times more powerful. Finally, the AI he's working on will have an interface similar to Apple's Siri, except that you won't need to ask it questions. It will anticipate your needs and questions before you ask. When asked, quote, when does this become Minority Report? His response was, quote, everything is a trade-off.
Oh, God.
Minority Report wasn't a trade-off. It was the world of being arrested and being put in a state of a brain death for pre-crime, crimes that have not yet occurred.
That is so creepy.
This is Ray Kurzweil saying this. This is not sci-fi, vaporware, or sales talk. Google is about to wake up, and it will have all your Obamacare medical records, phone records, banking records, emails, OnStar records that are collected by the National Security Administration and stored where? In their new hub in Utah.
Oh, in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Which connects, now, see, folks, to understand how I'm thinking, you're now going to see the dots connecting, how I'm linking things in together here. This connects with Angel's story of Colorado. Why? Because the seat of power is transferring. It has been transferred, actually, technically. Because D.C. is going to get nuked.
Yep.
Okay? There's no two ways about it. D.C. is going to get nuked. It's just.
And why do we say that? Because anybody knows that when a country goes to war, they take out the biggest. They take out
the capital. You take out the seat of power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and then why D.C.? Not only because it's the seat of power, but look at what it physically and spiritually represents for this country.
Mm-hmm.
You eliminate that area, that one area geographically, and put the capital somewhere else, then everything changes. Literally, the tone of the country completely shifts, like a pole shift, essentially, but just here in the continental United States. Now let me go back into my connection with the NSA. The NSA, the National Security Agency, CSS, Central Security Service, which is their military wing equivalent within the NSA, is based out of, I believe, Fort Detrick, Maryland, which is part of D.C. They have created this massive hub, and I know you guys in the NSA are listening to this. You monitor all stuff, so it's not a secret. So don't take what I'm saying as a slight. But they have moved pretty much their essentials, their criticals, from Fort Detrick to Colorado.
Uh-huh.
All the massive agencies that had their powers, that were founded, correction, in D.C. are moving to Colorado.
Yep, and they did. A lot of them did this last year. The NASA moved, CIA moved.
Why is it that the National Aeronautical Space Administration, based in Florida, is moving here? Probably because of one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
One of two. Not only this is all I see. One, if El Hierro volcano on the Canary Islands explodes and half that island goes into the ocean, into the Atlantic, it'll generate a teletsunami, which would crank out a speed of more than Mach 3 with nothing to stop it or break that energy that will come in and hit the southeast coast up to the east coast of the United States within 6 hours, 8 to 6 hours. So that means people won't even have enough time to get the hell out of Dodge. So
yeah.
I can see why NASA wants to get out, because they're based where? Cape Canaveral, Florida.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what was really sad when I was following that article last year? I was following all that last year. There were people at NASA, one of a kind. Nobody else on this planet could do what they could do, and they were fired. And they brought people out here. They moved the whole NASA out here and gave a whole bunch of new jobs. They were probably already training them somewhere here, maybe in Colorado Springs in the Air Force military base, my guess, because I go by there quite a bit. And this just came out today, too. I want to throw this in here because we're talking about this. The Senate passed a $631 billion defense bill today, folks. Senators overwhelmed approved of the sweeping $631 billion defense bill on Tuesday that cleared that sends a clear signal to Obama to move quickly to get the U.S. combat troops out of Afghanistan and tighten up sanctions in Iran and limit the presidency's authority in handling terrorist suspects. Really? Well, that just sounds really all beautiful, but we know better than that. But isn't that interesting?
I find that to be nothing more than smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors. $631 billion, and we're already in such a trillion deficit, but somewhere magically out of the thin air, we've got $631 billion now to throw into defense. Why?
You can thank
because it's going to be locked down. This is not to go after other states. It's to lock down the United States. The part of this money is going to go into the United States. And you were talking about them training the robots, and we've been following that. My thoughts are our troops are already knowing what our United States is about.
They can't
do anything
about it.
They're not going to come and lock us up. I know that. I know it in my heart that our troops are not going to come to our houses and lock us up when they do this massive lockdown and start enforcing this New World Order. I see another troop coming out from another country or robots because our troops are not going to do that to us. I just know it.
Well,
I just know it in my heart. Are they going to either be brainwashed? Something's going to be sprayed on them. They're going to be controlled or something. I just don't see our military as awake as they're becoming doing that to their own people. I just don't see it. But that's how I think about it, like the Terminator. And I want to say this prophetically, something that God showed me 2 years ago. Just came to me. And he was telling me about the earthquakes. I know a lot of my Bible, and I understand a lot of what's going on in the Bible as far as prophecy. And a lot of the agenda for the New World Order to create these earthquakes is to open the earth. You can't open an abyss unless you create an opening for the abyss, and the earthquakes and the sinkholes and all this stuff is to open up the abyss. And once that stuff starts happening, it prophetically it says the demons and things like that, you know, and you've got Satan on the earth walking the earth because he knows he's got a short time. And we're in that, and it looked like something like to this that God showed me. The demons would be like the Terminator, locked in on what would be considered their own. Believe me, if you do not have the hand of God on you, it's going to know that. And it's going to know if you do have the hand of God on you. And it's almost like the Exodus blood that went on the door, the Passover. The Passover, folks. The Terminators will be locked in on people that do not prophetically have the hand of God on them. I see some of this. I'm not saying all. Just this one vision that I had, it looked like some sci-fi movie that I have never seen in my life. It was in the spiritual realm, but also in the physical realm. And it knew if you were not protected by God. It just knew it. And that's what these Terminators did that looked like robots. It scared me. I mean, you know, we've got the earthquakes opening up. We've got sinkholes opening up. We've got, the volcanoes, all of it opening up. We've still got to go through the Gog-Magog War. And that is supposed to be something in the spiritual realm. So that I just had to say that. That's something that keeps all this stuff, so when I'm gathering all this information and learning about it, it keeps reminding me that vision I had 2 years ago is possible. It's very, very possible. And this is something that God says to me, tell people all the time. Study your Leviticus and your Deuteronomy. You must know God's laws and requirements. You must know those. Those are a part of your salvation, is following the letter of the law. All of it. Every bit of it. Pray that you don't kill somebody, because that is one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Pray that you have faith enough that God will feed you, that you don't steal. That is one of the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Pray that you remember, even in times of war and times like that, to keep the Sabbath. That is the fourth commandment. Pray that you keep all of God's commandments and his and his requirements. Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Know that. We're in spiritual warfare too. This is not, like I said, this is the bloodlines. This is the Nephilims, the fallens against mankind. This is a spiritual war too, not just a political, not just a one world order, because I have to remind you, in Revelations it said that God would put it into their minds. This is the new world order. This is the Nephilims. This is Satan. This is the evil ones. He would put it into their minds to make them one and to become one beast. So it's already played out. It's the way it has to happen. But how can you not be a part of that beast? Don't take the chip. Trust God to feed you. Trust God to save you. Trust God to protect you. Make sure that the hand of God is on you right now. Stay in God's word. Stay in his laws. Stay in his commandments. Make sure that when the enemy, the dark fallen angel enemy and all of the demons start coming and they're all over this land, that you got the hand of God and the Passover will happen with you. You will be passed over. I believe in God and all of his promises. I believe him. We will be fed. He fed his people many times. And the manna that fell from the heavens, and Ezekiel being fed by the ravens, and Jesus feeding the multitudes. You will be fed. Do not steal. Trust your God. Do not kill. Okay, we want gun control, and we want to be able to defend our families. That is one of the commandments. It is better to be a martyr. I hate to say that. It's better to be a martyr and die clean on your judgment day. Go before the Lord and know that you did not lose your morals, your compass, the laws and the requirements before God. Let them have that judgment. And that's something that I'm trying to tell people, because I God keeps putting it on my heart, the commandments in these hard times, the requirements in these hard times. This is a spiritual war. It's going down. Prophecies all over. We are in the end times. We are it. I do not know when it will end. And anybody that will tell you that will end is a false prophet, liar. The day the world will end. But we are told that we'll know the signs. We are told that we will know what's going on. We were told that. I'm sorry. I don't know. God got in me and I had to say all that. but I mean it. It's no joke. It's fixing to happen to us all. And we are told not to take it. So whatever you can do, don't take the beast. Come out of the beast. Come out of this system, this beast, this lie, this farce. And get into the word. And Jesus taught it to you too. He told you always to obey all of God's laws and all of God's commandments. I'm telling you that as well. God's telling you that as well. Because you will be passed over prophetically. And if you do die as a martyr, what did God say about his martyrs? They will be first on the front line for heaven. So don't lose your moral compass in this. Don't do it. Don't do it. Guns are beautiful and all that. It's great to feel like you can protect yourself, but aren't you taking your life in your own hand and you're not trusting God? I don't want a gun. I'm scared of them. Someone's going to use one on me because I don't have that kind of heart. I don't. I mean, I'll do whatever it takes to protect my children, and I will seek God to help us, but I'm not going to kill people. I'm not. I'm not going to go shooting people. I just can't. I don't have that kind of heart. And I'm terrified. It's one of the commandments. Sorry, Pierre. God just wanted me to say all that. I just felt like that was important to say as we keep getting closer and closer to the timeline.
You spoke your heart out, and you were compelled to say what you needed to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that was divine intervention, and there you have it. There's nothing to really apologize about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my take on it is you do what you have to do. You know, and if it means you take the nonviolent approach, then you take the nonviolent approach, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be squeamish either. That means you take some kind of proactive countermeasures to ensure your survival. Let's just put it that way. It doesn't necessarily mean it's violent. It just means that you can still stay one step, two steps, maybe even three steps ahead of the game of what's going on there without having to draw any blood.
Mm-hmm.
See, the counterbalance to you is me on that, because I will take up arms. I'm not going to lie. I'm a Marine. I mean, I'm out of the Corps, but once a Marine, always a Marine. And anyone who's a soldier, who's a veteran, you know, who's a sailor, airman, you name it, we're going to do what we have to do in order to ensure our survival and that of our loved ones and our friends. Friends who go right into the point of loved ones. You may not have to take up the gun. Someone will probably take it up for you to make sure that you'll be all right, regardless of whether or not you approve of it or not. See, approval isn't needed. We know what we need to do because we swore and took an oath. That oath, that covenant with God still sticks with us. And I'm held accountable to that oath. That's what makes me who I am. It's what galvanizes me. It keeps me going. Am I going to go and just take a life indiscriminately? Absolutely not. Not even close. Because the bad guy's going to be playing for keeps. And I could do no less than to play for keeps for them too as well. These foreign troops, they're here. You don't have to worry about American troops, folks. They're being bled out overseas on purpose, fighting proxy wars. That's why they're not coming back, a lot of them, because they're staying over there for a prolonged period of time, for however longer a unit is supposed to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of the situation is this. We have Russian GRU Spetsnaz in this country. There's a total of roughly 100,000 of them there. I think those numbers have significantly increased. There's about 70,000 plus of them here in America alone, with another in CONUS, continental United States, with another 30,000 scattered throughout Hawaii, Pacific Fleet headquarters, folks. I know what these men are trained to do. I know what they're capable of doing. I respect what they chose to do as their profession. However, I do not respect the notion that they would be willing to take out civilian targets.
Yeah.
Okay. And like I said, they're going to play for keeps. They're not the only ones here. Somewhere out there in Mexico, and in the big territories of Mexico, is the People's Liberation Army of China. A significant number of them. Their war material has already been stationed there and garrisoned. Their bases have not been manned yet, but they will be coming. Make no mistake of that. Canada has issues because they decided to abdicate certain things. Their Ministry of Defense has permitted the Russians to build an air base in their territory in the far reaches of the Northern Territory, in the hopes that, much like how the Mexicans did for the Chinese, you can build air bases here as long as you promise not to destroy our cities in the process. And I'm sure they shook their hands and Chinese smiled, whatever you like to think. The Russians probably did the same thing with the Canadians. The real target is the continental United States.
Yeah.
Pray to God. Pray for discernment. Keep your ears open, as I always tell anyone. Listen for him. Eyes open to see the signs. He will tell you when it is time to go, to get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Those of you who are warriors of God who will, and I'm not trying to sound fanatical, but those who really do believe that they're going to take up the fight in the name of God, because this country was founded on the principles of the Lord, you guys better start seeking some wisdom and discernment, because here's the deal, the bottom line. You're going to be going up against crack elements of special forces units who are trained to halo in at night. They don't need to be bringing in AK-47s and AK-74s or whatever to come and take you out. They just need a 22 and a suppressor and night vision and infrared. You're done. This isn't going to be the good old boy shooting club thing where, yeah, because you got daddy's shotgun and hunting rifle, you're going to be able to pick them up. You're not going to see these guys coming. They're going to see you. You have to think on a different level. You're going to have to. For those of you who are not going to fight, but equally don't want to be put into a FEMA camp or be taken out indiscriminately, have your backup plans for evacuation set into motion. Be ready to move out at a moment's notice. If that little wild hair sticks up on the nape of your neck and you know something bad's happening and it's time to get out of Dodge, get out of Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're at work, you know, you're picking up the kids, you feel that, contact the husband, the wife, blah, 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 blah. We meet here, code word your stuff. Don't say things commonly over the airwaves on your phone.
Oh, and I have to interject on that.
Yes.
Because it was just in the news, what you just said. Don't say things openly, okay? It said, cops to Congress, we need logs of Americans' text messages. The state and local law enforcement groups want wireless providers to store detailed information about your SMS messages for at least 2 years in case they need it for future, just like you said. You said before, for future crimes, for future criminal investigations, says the article. AT&T and Verizon Wireless and Sprint and other will be required to record and store information about Americans' private text messages at least for 2 years, according to the proposal that the police have submitted to the U.S. Congress. And so it goes on to say, we want those messages during congregational discussions. So they want to know what we were saying when congressional discussions over updated since the 1986 privacy law for the clouded computer era and to move that can complicate debates over the measure and erosion of the support of that among the citizens libertarians. As the popularity of text messages have exploded over recent years, so has use of criminal investigations and civil suits. We have been introduced as evidence of armed robbery. See, now they're saying all this stuff like, okay, false flag. Armed robbery, cocaine distribution, and wire fraud. Okay. But still, the bottom line is, right there, for your future crime, a crime that you are already going to commit in the future. And that's how they put you in the FEMA prisons, and they lock you down because they say you're a criminal because of something that you did 2 years ago or something that you're going to do in the future. And you don't even know you're going to do it, but you're going to do it, all right, because that's how you're going to get in these prisons, these FEMA camp prisons. And a lot of the people who have been dispersed and moved around because of the global disasters have already told you it feels like a prison. Doesn't feel like help. It feels like you've lost your rights. You feel like you're on lockdown. You are on lockdown. You have lost your rights. So I thought I would put that in there, Pierre.
Well, it comes down to this on my end, folks. Do you love your cell phones?
No.
You still want to keep texting? You still want to keep all doing all that? I mean, for real? I remember when I used my cell phone, I could tell you guys this for just a little personal tidbit. I remember one time I was talking on my phone, and my left ear started lighting up. I mean, it hurt. I mean, it felt like it was on fire. And then my head started hurting a bit. I had no idea what was going on. And then, you know, I looked at the phone, and the thing I thought was, okay, what's my phone? But what will be triggering it off? Did some research. Oh, hey, radiation.
Yep, it causes brain injury, causes brain cancer.
But I digress. I just wanted to add that little tidbit into that. But look, gang, it's obvious that now that they're going after your text messages and stuff or pre-crime crap, the reality situation is to nab you and to take you out under the guise of pre-crime. They know that the pre-crime thing isn't going to work. It isn't. But they're going to do things under the guise of it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many times I'm going to be saying this to anyone on the air or in person, but you need to wake up. You're going to have to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
People are texting on your phones 24/7. Let me tell you something. They don't need to go after you for a crime because you might have said something violent on it. They can get you for sexual content and other things and misconstrue that. Next thing you know, guess what? You're a registered sex offender because you said something wrong to your girlfriend that they perceived, or your girlfriend said something wrong to you and now she's screwed or whatever. If you people out there are thoroughly happy with the fact that your government on the local, state, county, and national level wants to go in and read your text messages and you say, I have nothing to hide, it's okay, they can read my life, you're a bloody idiot. And that's me being mild here.
Yeah.
You got privacy for a reason, folks. Privacy for a reason. If you want to make your life an open book, go to MTV. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to try to do a Jersey Shore thing for you or some crap like that.
Yeah.
But if you really value anything about yourself, the sanctity of the self, then it would be in your best interest to oppose this.
I also want to interject in there. I watched a really interesting video where a football coach concerned about his football players. Did some studying on cell phones in general. This football coach had one of his players come up, the biggest one that he had, one of the linebackers, come up to the front of the group. And he asked the football player to put the cell phone in his pocket. And he proceeded to have the football player hold out his arms, and he tried to push down on his arms. And the football player's arms collapsed. And he said, okay, now take your cell phone to the back of the room and leave it back there. Come back up here, put your arms straight out to the side, and I'm going to push down on your arms. And the coach did that, and the football player was stronger. Cell phones make you weak. They weaken you. Not only with the radiation that is causing the brain tumors, too, and a lot of people that have those doggone things stuck to their hip and their head all the time. You got to use one. Use headphones or something. Put that doggone thing in your pocket away from you. Or how about better yet, just learn to go back before Nikola Tesla, before the 20th century, and maybe not use it as much because it does weaken you. Do not sleep with them near you. Don't sleep with those things at your nightstand. You're being radiated. Radiation leaked all over you. So I thought that was an interesting article. His football players all stopped carrying their cell phones during the games, and they said that their game was so much better. They had more strength during their game. They actually won a lot more games by doing that. So go home. Take your cell phone, put it in your pocket. Have somebody do an experiment. Put your arms right out beside you. Hold them up like at shoulder length, and have somebody come down and try to push down on your arms. And then take your cell phone and do it the other way. You will be mind blown that you are being weakened by just carrying that cell phone around with you. I did it on my kids. I did it on some other people. We did it together, and we were shocked. The video was true.
You know what's another interesting thing? for you men that are listening to the show, and to the women, but more to the men. And ladies, if you love your man and you care for him, you will be in your best interest to hear this. There is a correlation or a link between the radiation of the cell phone and low testosterone levels in men.
Mm-hmm.
Low testosterone, gentlemen, you know what that does. Sexual dysfunction, it messes with your chemical balancing. It produces more estrogen than testosterone, and you can figure where that goes. This has to be taken seriously. You just can't laugh it off.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. I don't care how savvy your little tech piece is. That tech piece is really messing you up. I'm going to put it to you guys this way. It's like having the perfect gift given to you, whatever your image of the perfect gift is. But see, there's a cost-benefit ratio to this. The benefit of the phone is it's your personal handheld PDA. You can do whatever you want with it, communicate with the world and take pictures, movies, and a bunch of other things that you want to do with. The cost of it is your government can tap into it without your knowledge. Your cell phone companies will sell you up the river without you realizing it unless they actually give out a posting saying, oh, by the way, we're letting you know this in the fine print if you bother to read. Oh, yeah, your records will be given to the law or, you know, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. But most people will ignore it and not realize it until they're actually in the hot seat. And then try to sue and then find out that they're made to look like jackasses because the fine print says, hey, we did this with the government, so therefore you can't sue us.
Yeah.
The other cost of it is irradiation, being irradiated with this stuff. I'm telling you, folks, I've had problems with this.
Mm-hmm.
The whole left side of my face, my head, my ears were throbbing. It was red, and it hurt to the touch. It was hot. And when I took the phone away, and set it down, and I had to sit down for a moment because I was getting lightheaded, it started to dissipate. I literally felt the dissipation. And that's when I realized, oh, gee, there's something really wrong with this. You know? Don't mean to sound facetious here, gang, but it's the truth. It's a wonderful thing, a wonderful piece of technology. I'm not going to lie, but it's not worth your life. It's not worth your privacy. You will be betrayed by the very things you buy. The very things that you consume. You think that's something? Wait till you folks who have smart TVs find out that your smart TV is snooping in on you.
Yeah, videotaping you in your home. And your VCR.
Yeah.
I don't have a VCR or any of that. Mm-mm.
No, the VCR thing, honestly, in the betas back in the day,
we have to show. I'll get in trouble. I went over. Okay. I'm sorry, and we're going to have you back on. I love it when you come in and you do the show with me.
I'm hoping to be on tomorrow.
I'd love that. Okay.
Sure. I'll give you a heads up.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. We'll get together what we're going to discuss. For Recharge Radio Reporters, my prayers go out to everybody in the world at this time. Keep your faith, keep your faith, keep your faith. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. Don't give up. We're given this truth and knowledge to be able to be prepared. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Prepared and not scared. For Recharge Radio Reporters, I am Godsend Angel and Pierre. We're glad that you enjoyed our show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Take care, folks.
Take care.
The opposite is probably true. 175 in the odd cylindrical pod beneath the fuselage. Then it's 2+2 level addition after you factor in the flight termination system. Then flashback to the cash the good rabbi stole. September 10th style, right down the rabbit hole.
What can I get with 213?
You can get unlimited corporate news.
What can I get with 213?
You can have any mercenaries you choose.
What can I get with 213?
You can steal a couple million souls.
What can I get with 213?
You can get everything under control. The missile they hit the Pentagon with was not an act of randomness. It murdered accountants, bookkeepers, and budget analysts. That side of the building was retrofitted prior to this to withstand bomb blasts, the nickname the catcher's mitt. If that won't give you some kind of clue why they blew the mortar, maybe you should take some medication for your new disorder. If buildings are burning, don't ever trust a news reporter with 267 stories of gruesome slaughter. Don't ever mention Dov Zakim and trillion stolen, much less missile-equipped Boeings, even remote controlling with System Planning Corporation International. The folks that see if you got some buildings you'd like to crash into. But that's impossible without the proper capital. That's why I'm asking you what you would do with unimaginable wealth. So much money you can't delve in it. Enough to buy 10 presidents and 12 senators.
What can I get with 2.3?
You can get unlimited corporate news. That's right.
What can I get with 2.3?
You can have any mercenary you choose.
All night. What can I get with 2.3?
You can steal a couple million souls.
Indeed. What can I get with 2.3?
You can get everything under control.
Now that's greed.
What can I get with 2.3? welcome aboard, everybody, to the ABC show this evening, December 4th, Tuesday. Tonight's show, you know, it's 1 hour. I want to try to spend some time just talking about the overseas situation or international news, overseas news. Hey, Chuck, and hey to everybody in the chat room. Thanks for tuning in. You know, I don't have this set up any particular way, but as I was thinking about, you know, what I should try to cover tonight, what I thought about is there's a number of stories. And as I was looking through the different stories out there on the web, there's a number of stories about stuff that's going on here overseas. It might be involving the U.S., it might not. But I think the main theme is that we see government control, authoritarianism, economic control, and the people being forced to, what was it they used to say when there was a king, you had to pay pay the tax, but, you know, I mean, whatever you made automatically had turned over so much to the king. That was just it. What is it? Pay tribute, I think is what it was. Pay tribute to your king. Well, you know, we're going from this idea of taxation, which, you know, I think that people can accept to some extent that, you know, as citizens, we have to help provide for the public arena, where there's roads and all this stuff. And it's just, look, call it what the hell you want to call it, but one way or another, if you know, if you want to go to the park and you want it to be clean, or you want to go to you want to drive down the streets and you don't want potholes, then you're going to be forced to contribute. And I say forced to and all this stuff. Look, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this is a sticky subject, this whole taxation thing, because from what I understand, Ron Paul always talks about, we didn't have taxes before 1913 with this Federal Reserve, which is fine. And nobody wants to pay taxes. What I would expect is that, you know, there was some kind of, whether it's sales tax or whatever they called it. But, you know, when it comes time that, hey, we need to build a city hall, or we need to build something here in a public square, or have this particular auditorium that everybody wants to use, or whatever it might be, a water system or something, you know, everybody's going to have to chip in. So what I'm saying there is that you expect that there's something that citizens will contribute towards those kind of benefits. However, what is currently happening is this, after these people have looted the countries of the world, is now they're turning around and telling the people, you have to pay up, you have to work down this debt that your government borrowed, which none of us ever wanted. So that's one of the many things. You know, the big thing is these wars, and the main idea is that it seems to be chaotic out there. There's some of everything. I dropped all these links there in the chat room. It's some of everything. I got all these things open. I'm going to just read the headlines real quick, going through it. This first one, brutality. Crimes continue to defame Israel. That's an analyst said. Next one, humanitarian cover-up. Why is Obama silent over the new Congo war? You don't hear too much about the Congo war. You know, in this age where we're talking about supposedly, you know, we care about everybody's freedom and democracy and all this stuff, and people killing each other left and right over there in the Congo, and you don't get a lot of reporting on it. This next one, Bolivia cuts ties with Israel, seeks genocide charges against Israeli officials. The next one, convergence. Globalists push Russia-EU merger. This next one, tax hitmen to track your spending. And that's from the Telegraph, talking about the tax men there in the UK looking at tracking your spending. And this one in particular leads me to say that I've said this a number of times. My only, not the only, but my concern with what's happening overseas, whether it's the UK or Congo or this Mideast crisis, the whole Israel against the Arab world and all that kind of stuff, is that, you know, you want to know the neighborhood you're in. And in this context, I'm talking about the world and the relationships, you know, our favorite ally, Israel or something, or, you know, if it's Congo and how we relate to them, you know, we got AFRICOM or something, but, you know, having some idea of what's happening in your neighborhood, this global community, you know, can give you some heads up as to where we're headed. And, you know, if people will stand up and make some noise ahead of time, you know, maybe we won't go into yet another war. Maybe we won't get involved in this Congo thing as far as supplying arms here and there and being involved with rebels and all this stuff. The main thing I would say about all of this, though, is that this is part of this agenda. All this chaos, and you've heard it any number of times, the motto of these devils, these evil Satanists, is order out of chaos. But what they have to do first is bring chaos so that you're totally confused, totally fearful, and concerned for your future. And it's the most simple tactic in the world. You know, just like the divide and conquer is so simple, this one is problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, they know how you're going to react, and then they show up magically with the solution. So the problem that they're creating is chaos around the world. The problem that they created was the theft and looting of the economies around the world with this fraud of a derivative market and, you know, the stock market and this kind of thing, where all kinds of scams going on. But that derivative market, there's nothing like it. Betting on bets on bets. I bet the bet that you made yesterday doesn't come through. How much you want to bet? And people's retirement funds were being caught up in this stuff. And by now, you know, everybody's familiar with that. But that was a problem that created your reaction, in which they brought a solution. Their solution was, hey, if we don't do something, you know, if these banks collapse, then the whole economy is going to collapse. So the solution was save the banks, give them a bailout, borrow trillions of dollars, and then you, the dumb citizen, pay it back. The other problem that they've created is this war on terror. You know, and it's as fraudulent as the whole stock market, derivative market problem was. It's a scam. The derivative market was a scam. This whole, what's that, repealing of, what's that, Steagall? Something Steagall. Shit, it's been so long since we didn't gotten rid of it. Glass-Steagall. The repealing of that was purposeful and on point. They wanted to do that to bring about this collapse. So this idea that there's some kind of, hey, you know, things happen and I don't know, but people didn't see it and there's just a problem and we got to fix it. That was a scam. It was created from the beginning. And the same with this war on terror. 9-1-1 is a lie, the official narrative. This thing was purposeful. By somebody, by some people. And they knew what the reaction would be. and you look at all these people that yelled and screamed that we needed to run in there and go to war in Afghanistan. You know, they got you with the emotion. We're going to get Osama bin Laden. And while the guys were packing their bags and getting on the plane, they changed it up from going after Osama bin Laden and the people that did 911 supposedly to going after anybody who's harboring terrorists. And that changed to a war on terror, about as vague and as broad as you can get. And after they were in Afghanistan for a week, that changed into, now we need to go into Iraq. Problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, you react like they know you're going to react, and then they show up with the solution. Their solution for the war on terror: get more troops, start more wars. So after cutting taxes for a decade and creating two wars, well, actually, when you go into Obama's presidency, in his whole first term, the taxes were still cut. So it's the same policy, cutting taxes and going into wars. Obama takes us into Libya and continues with all the stuff that Bush did. I think he may have expanded into Yemen and Somalia and all this stuff, but I think Bush was already in some of those places. You know, the recipe was failure. So, for this particular story again, from the Telegraph, tax hitmen to track your spending. Well, it's about getting your money. They rip you off. They're going to make sure that you pay these bankers no matter what. You know, you keep shouting about a $1 trillion debt. Well, yeah, you're going to pay it. And the government's hiring people to make sure you pay it. Now, again, this particular story is a Telegraph, but I believe it's here that we saw the story, here in the States, that we saw the story where the IRS was buying loads of ammo and hiring more people. The point is, it's all a fraud, it's all a lie. And this international or overseas angle is something that, you know, it's like the whole idea with us having bases overseas is it's a forward base, so that we get early warning when some stuff breaks off. That's the idea. I mean, it's all BS, but that's the idea. Well, you know, looking at these stories that are happening around the globe, think of that as a early warning of what's coming this way. So I'm just going to touch on a couple of these stories, and then, you know, I'll take some calls. Pretty much open phones. But, you know, and if anybody wants to call in, you know, what I'm interested in is just kind of talking about how we as Americans should view these stories about overseas, or, you know, what's happening in England, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in South America. You know, I'm pretty set on what my position is. You know, we don't need to get all in the middle of it. In fact, I'm saying stay out of those countries' business. But I think that we need to keep abreast of what's happening in these countries and see who the players are and see if any of them are involved with our government over here. Because I feel fairly confident that what you see happening over there is coming this way. And that's why the IRS and somebody else, there's like two or three agencies got these stories where they've been buying up ammo. The Transportation Department or something. You know, IRS, Transportation Department. What are these people doing buying up all this ammo? You know, we got a military, we got a police. why are these organizations buying up all this ammunition? So let me go ahead and bring up one of these stories. I'm going to drop this one in there and talk about this one for a second. Obama and the Congo. There's, let's see if I can find, I had a number of stories on the Congo, but this is a kind of a classic situation, and it goes to my contention as to why Obama was selected to be put in there as the president. Now, the Congo is one story, one place. And I'm not making this, I'm not saying white people bad, black people good, or, you know, it ain't about that kind of stuff. So let's be grown up about this. But the world is predominantly non-white. You got Asians, you got yellow people, you got brown people, you got black people, you got red people. You got white people, but they're a minority in this world. Yet, they control this world. And again, this ain't, you know, I ain't making this a condemnation and all this kind of stuff. I mean, that's another show, we can get into that stuff. But the point about this is that they control all of this. They created the United Nations. They created these world organizations. You know, they talk about all this stuff, you know, one world and peace and love and let's get together. You know, this is chess. These people, this, I ain't talking about the average white person. I'm talking about the Europeans, the ones that are running this world, the Rothschilds and the Brzezinskis and these people that are controllers of the Kissingers. They came up with the UN and the World Trade Organization and these different global organizations. And their purpose was that they know that whites are a minority in this world. So you get these global organizations, and you give the appearance of a global agreement, global participation. You know, we all came together and we agreed on this, that, and the other thing. Well, you know, what's that old saying about two wolves and a sheep just making a decision about what's for dinner? In this particular scenario, the Europeans or Europe would be the two wolves and the rest of the world is the sheep. So, yeah, you can make a UN, you know, a World Trade Organization. But ain't nobody controlling nothing but you. So those organizations are fronts to give the appearance of agreement of what do you call it? excuse me, of compromise and all that kind of stuff. It ain't about none of that. It's about the same devils, and this is those Rothschilds, those the cabal, who are you know primarily the controllers that we know of, and is in England and in Europe. And then some here in the U.S. And then Israel, you can't forget about them. But it's these Europeans controlling everything. This everything else is a front. Well, that's what Obama's about. He's a front. You know, it ain't no way in hell that the Europeans are going to let some non-European be in control of anything. You know, forget about the races. If three guys are running the I don't know the weekly poker game club, and you know as you're in charge, you actually get some little benefits, keep some of the money to bank and all this kind of stuff, or you know keep the leftovers from the food, whatever it might be. You in charge, and you've been in charge for a couple of years. You know, there's some certain perks that go with it. Now all of a sudden, you know, you got some people running up against you. You've been in there for 3 years already. You know what it's all about. The other guys don't really know. You know, you're arranging things so that the only one that can win is you. But the most important thing is, it ain't no way in hell you're going to give it up. I think Malcolm X said, power, it may have been power, but power concedes nothing without a demand. But somebody else said something about the only way you're going to take power, wrestle power away from somebody else is from confrontation, a fight. And the only reason I'm going there with all of this is that's Obama. He's a front, like the UN is a front, like the WTO is a front, like all of these global or international organizations are fronts. It ain't representing the people. It ain't representing the interests of the masses. You know, you got somebody in India that ain't got good drinking water, and you got somebody in Brussels deciding whether or not they should have clean air or not. It's ridiculous. It's an insane. But that's what we have with these international organizations. And that's what we have here in this country with this first black president sitting up there. He didn't got reelected. You know, black people make up 13-14% of the population. Hispanics make up another maybe 20% or something. But whites make up 70%, a little over 70%. And I ain't saying that people are racist or nothing, but Obama, don't nobody know who he is, still don't know about his background, all kinds of crazy stuff about his birth certificate. You know, was he born here or was he not? His daddy, he don't know his daddy, met him once or some crap. Can't get nothing about his school transcripts. You don't really know about his growing up. He don't know nothing about this guy, but he got elected as president. Went straight to the head of the line. Got into the Senate funky the way he got in there, but then he's in there 2 years and becomes president. In there for 4 years. All of y'all hate him, can't stand him, and he gets reelected. Beats the guy decisively. It ain't possible. You know, you got to be brain dead to think that this guy is so great that he could just make all that happen. It ain't possible. He's a front. And the only reason I'm harping on that is because of this particular story here. Humanitarian cover-up. Why is Obama silent over the new Congo war? This isn't very long. I'm going to read it. It says, the United States is a silent partner in the latest bloodshed in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Under siege by so-called M23 rebels, in quotes, controlled by U.S. allies Rwanda and Uganda. And this is a quote, it's likely that the Obama administration will jump into action as soon as his M23 allies complete their military objective of regime change and reopen the Congo's military wealth to U.S. corporations to profit from. Does this say, this is written by Seamus Cook. I don't know if that's his quote or who said it, but it goes on to say, the last Congo war that ended in 2003 killed 5.4 million people, the worst humanitarian disaster since World War II. That's incredible, 5.4 million people. The killing was directly enabled by international silence over the issue. The war was ignored and the causes obscured because governments were backing groups involved in the fighting. Now a new Congo war has begun and the silence is, again, deafening. President Obama seems not to have noticed a new war has broken out in the war-scarred Congo. He appears blind to the refugee crisis and the war crimes committed by the invading M23 militia against the democratically elected government of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. But appearances can be deceiving. The U.S. government has their bloody hands all over this conflict, just as they did during that last Congo war when Bill Clinton was president. President Obama's inaction is a conscious act of encouragement for the invaders, just as Clinton's was. Instead of Obama denouncing the invasion and the approaching overthrow, of a democratically elected government, silence becomes a very powerful action of intentional complicity on the side of the invaders. I'm not going to read through the rest of this, but I totally agree with everything that was just said there. You know, and nobody asked Obama about this. Nobody makes it an issue for Obama, because he's a black guy, so he couldn't possibly be neglectful of what's happening to black people on the African continent. His father is from Kenya. He couldn't possibly be neglectful. Of course he cares about those poor Africans. It's a smokescreen. It's a front. Just like these international organizations are a front to make you believe one thing when in fact something else is going on. Let me skip to this other one. Here's one. Bolivia cuts ties with Israel, seeks genocide charges against Israeli officials. Now you guys have heard me talk. I've spoken quite a bit about Zionism. And the bottom line is, you know, look, you can't escape it. Whatever's going on in the world, it seems that Zionists are closely are close behind, you know, somehow connected. This one says, Bolivian President Evo Morales said on Wednesday that his country is breaking diplomatic ties with Israel over its 19-day-old campaign in Gaza, and said he will ask the International Criminal Court to bring genocide charges against top Israeli officials. Here's a quote. Bolivia had diplomatic relations with Israel, but considering these grave attacks against humanity, Bolivia will stop having diplomatic relations with Israel, Morales said in a speech before diplomats in the government palace. He goes on to say, we haven't received official confirmation from the Bolivian government, the Israeli consul in La Paz, Roberto Nelkenbaum told Reuters by telephone. The diplomat said he was surprised and sad after hearing Morales' comments in local media, and that the two countries have had good diplomatic relations for more than 50 years. Well, look, the story about Israel and, you know, its fight with the Palestinians stuff, that's a whole show. You have a lot of people that attempt to defend this country. But Israel is a fraud. That country is a fraud. It's a lie. It's shoved down everybody's throat. And anybody that supports it because of their religious indoctrination. Either that, or, you know, it's either your religious indoctrination, just the brainwashing from the mass media telling you it's supposed to be this way, or just your racial and religious bigotry. There's, let's see if I can find this other one real quick. Well, I don't want to dig on it or go too much further, but there's another story that Hungary has come up with. The Hungarian government has done a similar type of thing. They actually wanted a list of all the Jews in Hungary. And, you know, it's scary to hear that kind of stuff because, here it is, I'll bring it up. Because, you know, it's reminiscent of World War II. You start to, I mean, nobody wants that kind of thing, what happened in Germany and the whole Nazi movement and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's insane. There's, I don't know why that link is like that, but there's a story of Hungarian leader asked his government for a list of Jews. With the conflict in Gaza at a tenuous point, a Holocaust denying Hungarian lawmaker thought the next logical thing to do would be to ask the government to draw up a list of Jews who pose a national security threat. And you know, what it is this is how things can spiral out of control. When you have illegitimacy, such as the state of Israel, and you have the mass media, the arms of government and all this stuff supporting this illegitimacy, then you're going to have a backlash. You know, people know what the truth is. And you don't know where all the truth is going to pop out at. Pops out here, pops out, you know, you expect it to pop out in the Arab countries. But when that illegitimacy starts to involve other countries, and, you know, you got English people paying their taxes, sending money to Israel, or American people paying their taxes, sending money to Israel, and you got, you know, laws being made in these foreign countries about you can't say this and that about some foreign country, then people start to get kind of pissed off. So, you know, this whole Middle East thing and the war on terror, people know that that's primarily about Israel. It's just out of control. So this is the chaos that is being promoted that will result in this kind of backlash, where you got that Hungarian guy talking about give me a list and all that kind of stuff. That's insane. But, you know, people are going to react the way they think they need to react to defend themselves. So there needs to be, I think likely, there needs to be some open discussion. Let people vent their concerns every which way before things take any kind of more dangerous turn, like things happened in World War II. That's evil. Evil is evil. But yeah, this stuff happened. I just dropped this link in there. I neglected to drop this in there when I was talking about the Congo, but another story about the Congo, and this is what it amounts to when we heard about the death and genocide that Obama is allowing, ignoring there in the Congo. Well, the reason for that is this one article that I just dropped in there. It says Congo's $24 trillion mineral wealth, corporations versus M23. And the source for this is CNBC. So, you know, this isn't Joe Blow's blog that he's just coming up with theories or something. I mean, that's the real deal. It just goes on and on, you know. So the thing about all of this is, oh, hold on, I got a call. Let me get this call. Sorry about that call. I don't know how long you've been waiting, but I wasn't checking this. Hold on 1 second. 585, who do we have there?
Hi, my name is Tu. I have a kind of I want to speak an opinion about Obama getting that Nobel Peace Prize. I just found out about that yesterday, and I was thinking, well, why did he actually get that? It said that he did something about making ties between two different countries better, the relationships. Is that even true?
Okay, well, let me ask you first. Are you serious? You just found out about he got that Nobel Peace Prize? Because he got it within a year of his first getting elected.
Yeah, but I just heard about it yesterday because I knew he was going to be president first off because there was too many issues going around. And like what's his name had said, who's the boxer? Muhammad Ali. I remember
yeah.
Muhammad Ali had said something about if the boat. The shipper or the captain, the boat captain, went down to the slaves' room and asked one of the slaves to become the captain.
Right.
The first thing Muhammad Ali would have done was jump off the boat because it means something is wrong.
Right.
And
right.
That's how I felt when
right.
when Obama was. I didn't pay attention to anything he was doing.
Okay.
'Cause I know he's a puppet.
Right.
But I'm just surprised that they took it to that level. I'm really shocked that they gave it to him and not Julian Assange, which started WikiLeaks. He did
right.
so much by doing that, but why would they give it to Obama and not Assange?
Well,
that makes no sense to me.
You know, I'll give you my opinion on that. If if you're of the opinion, like I am, that there is an agenda afoot by some powerful people. You know, the people that fund these presidential elections, like Obama was, you know, millions of dollars that he received from Goldman Sachs and some other banks and some other big corporations. Same with Romney, millions of dollars. You know, these people are people who are powerful, and when they give you that kind of money, you know, it ain't for free. Like, hey, I like you. You look like a good guy. Here's $1 million. No, they want something back in return. So my opinion is that I refer to it as a cabal, but there is an elite who controls things, and they have an agenda. So when they put him into office, as I said earlier, I don't know if you heard me, but this guy ain't got no background, no credentials to get into the office, but he got there. So he had to have a hell of a lot of help. And then also with him not having good credentials or, you know, a mysterious background, they had to do a lot of covering up too. So he had to have some powerful people backing him up. Once he gets in there, you know, they had the nut jobs over on Fox News and all the nut job partisan conservatives going on and on promoting the idea that Obama was the Messiah. You know, what they were doing, supposedly they were making a joke about, man, the media is like, what's it called? Just slavishly all over Obama, you know, building this guy up to be somebody and the Savior, Jesus Christ, he can walk on water, you know, this kind of, they were supposedly making a joke about it. But they, from what I could see or hear, mostly it was those nut jobs who kept talking about Obama being this, you know, the Messiah, the special guy, the most high, the greatest that ever existed, the second coming of the Lord and stuff. So what they did was they built this guy up so much to make people think that there's something special about, there's something special about. And what that Nobel Peace Prize was, it was just another way at appearing or another attempt to validate that there's something special about this guy. He had been in the office less than a year. You know, he couldn't have done anything. He just showed up, you know. But, and honestly, I think it was like within a couple of months of his being sworn in. I don't know the exact date, but it was as obvious a con job, a scam as anything. And there was really no answer for it. Nobody really even attempted to defend why he got it. So, you know, the only explanation is that they were building up this, it's like I talk about with this war on terror. We build up our enemies. You know, we're supplying Al-Qaeda with weapons and stuff. And then we say, hey, look, they got a bunch of weapons. It's with Obama. These devils, this cabal, this elite, build him up to so that they could, you know, pit us all against each other. But he can, you know, it's the first black president, so they can go in and rape all of Africa. Can't say it was me. And look, the president is black. You know,
you know what? I'm, there's something that when Obama became president, black people really changed. Like when I talk to black people about I'm Asian, by the way. When I talk to black people, when Bush was in presidency, we could go all out. We could make fun of him, and we could, and we were basically hitting facts. We were explaining how bad Bush was. Soon as Obama becomes president, I can't talk the same way with black people that I know anymore. It's like,
well, you
like,
know,
like you
I don't
said.
Know who these people were that you were hanging out with, because if they were honest people, and I understand what you mean, but you know, if you were able to talk that stuff with those black people, whoever it was, but particularly with the black people, and I'll tell you why they act the way they do, but if you were able to talk like that with them, and now all of a sudden they acted funky when you talk about Obama, then you know they were funky friends or acquaintances in the first place.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, like in rap music, as soon as Obama becomes president, I forgot who it was. One of those rap artists makes this song that says, "My president is black." And that's all the song is about, the president being black, not about his issues, what he's going to do. All it is just he is black, which is okay that he's black, but what is he going to do is my point, you know? I just don't understand why people have changed because of that. And if there is a secret society controlling the world, they planned it to the T with putting Obama as the king.
Yeah. Think of it this way. You know, he's been in for 4 years. You had these nut jobs and racists attacking him from day one. I mean, the guy was barely in office, and they was already calling him the worst president ever. He brought out that Obamacare, and they just went ballistic over that. These people hated him. They still hate him so much, but they hated him to the hilt. And I don't support Obama at all. He's, as far as I see him, he's a willing puppet for these elite devil Zionist neocon devils. So I care nothing about Obama. But these nut jobs who don't understand what's really going on, these partisan racists, they were foaming, frothing at the mouths like rabid dogs. They can't stand them. So 3 years of that. And, you know, there is stuff to attack him on, but they never attacked him on that. They attacked him on stupid stuff. That's why you could tell they were racist. But, you know, he signed that NDA law. He's got the TSA out of control. He signed these executive orders about taking away our rights of killing people and stuff. There's a bunch of stuff you can get on him on. But as much as they hate him, and they were everywhere screaming and yelling and frothing at the mouth, he still won the re-election. And yeah, there's fraud. There was always fraud. There was fraud when Bush won. First time, second time. There's fraud. There's always been fraud. So don't give me that crap. Screw that fraud stuff. Yeah, it happened. Damn it, it's always been happening. So what? The fact of the matter is that this whole thing was set up from the beginning. That's why they threw Romney up there, because he's about the worst candidate you can get. Some Wall Street vulture capitalist after the worst collapse in American history. From stock market Wall Street people. Then they put a Wall Street guy up there. Hey, look, how about this guy being your next president? The whole thing was a setup. So, you know, the race issue is just one of these issues to keep everybody distracted. And those black people that I know I'm black, I see them, I talk with them, and I tell them that's all BS, it's like Stockholm Syndrome. It's that simple. You know, and this is what white people got problems with and they don't want to deal with. You know, there's some smart ones that understand it. But a lot of white people, you know, just like black people can't get over this injustice and the racism and they can't let it go. Damn it, white's the same way. You know, you've been on top forever, then done, you know, if you didn't do the dirt, you benefited from it. And then when they come up to civil rights and all stuff, and now all of a sudden we're supposed to be equal, you just can't let it go. You're like, damn, blacks getting special benefits. Mother F, you've been special benefits for 200 years. Nobody want to hear that crap. But, you know, white people can't let it go. So anytime that anything happens, you know, with the black-white thing, they immediately look at the blacks, oh, here we go again with that kind of stuff. So black people are always in defense mode. They've been in defense mode since slavery, always are. Don't trust white people for nothing. You know, a black guy say up, a white guy say down, everybody's looking at the white guy. Here we go. See, they can't. They won't acknowledge you. They always got to go opposite. You know, the black people just have a reaction. It's something that's been bred and conditioned into all of us. Because of slavery, and not only slavery was over, and you got the Ku Klux Klan, and you got the Jim Crow laws, and you got white cops killing black people. And then when white people defend that stuff, so all of that, black people are just totally distrustful of white folks. So when a black guy gets elected, they don't care nothing. They ain't thinking, I ain't saying all of them, because I never supported Obama, but it's a conditioning. You know, we just react. Finally, the first black president. Then you got all these racists coming out like they do. Reverend Wright and all that kind of stupid shit. So black people just go into defense mode. So that's what it's about.
I'll tell you, I'm a minority. I'm glad that there's a minority that's president. I'm really glad. But when I really think about it, it's if he could be multicolored and everything like that. But if he's not doing anything for me, it doesn't matter. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Yeah, he could be Hitler. If he's doing something that's helping everybody, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's what he does. It's not what he looks like, you know?
Right. But see, you know, actually, that's a good point, because we have been so conditioned that as soon as you hear something, Hitler, there's no way at all that you can that you can think anything positive or beneficial that he did or nothing like that. And you know, you'll hear these stories or you'll read some stuff that, I mean, when he took over, that was after the Weimar Republic and stuff, and after we had won, what was it, World War One, and we had put this heavy tax burden on Germany, and they were like, what? They were beaten down, and just like we were stepping on their head every time. And then Hitler came along like, F this stuff, man. We tired of being treated like somebody's slave or something. We got a proud history. We standing up. So they gave people hope and stuff, and, you know, that's what they went towards. But, you know, you can't say anything popular about Hitler because people will go crazy. They'll go ballistic. And, of course, you know, Hitler was evil. I mean, what he did and stuff. But I'm just saying, to your point, you just focus on the results of what people are doing. Forget about Obama's black, you know, what's the result? And the result is he got the TSA out of control. He's expanded these wars. You know, he's taking us deeper into debt. He ain't changed nothing from when Bush was in there. He's only added to it. And all of us said that, I still say Bush is the worst president that ever existed. So, you know, if he's doing the same thing, how you going to stand up and defend this guy? You know, you don't know nothing about his background. You know, he's reading from a teleprompter the whole time. He's going on vacation every other week. You know, it's obvious. You got to be a moron not to understand that he's a place card. He's just standing in front of the cameras, you know, saying stuff. And then, okay, the light's off. Then he goes back to his room and watches ESPN. The guy don't know nothing, you know.
People need to. I mean, like, do presidents even speak now their mind? Or has it been for the longest time that all presidents read off a teleprompter and is told what to say? I mean, has there ever been a time where a president didn't have those people and just spoke their mind?
No, that's true. That's a really good point, because I think it was more so in the past. And I have to say that regardless of what people want to say about Clinton, he could handle himself. You know, when you get somebody up there and you ask him a question, he can go head on. Or you can tell when somebody knows what they're talking about or not. Clinton could handle himself. He knew the issues. Obama don't know nothing. Bush didn't know anything. You know, Reagan was good with the quips and, you know, make you feel like, hey, that's my granddad. But he didn't know nothing either. You know, these people are put in place, they're front men, you know, hey, that guy reminds me of my granddaddy. I like him. I'm going to vote for him. And that's the end of it, you know. Meanwhile, these agendas get pushed. Hey, I got a few minutes left, man. I'm going to let you go ahead and make a last comment.
No, that's it. Thank you for taking my call. I'll see you.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, buddy. Call in anytime. I got a show on Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern for 3 hours, so I have plenty of time then. Thanks a lot for the call. Hey, I just have a few minutes left. I did want to touch on a couple of these other stories real quick. You know, what I'm attempting to talk about tonight is that there's a lot of activity going on in the world, and obviously a lot of chaos going on in the Middle East. But also, you know, if you take some time and search out some of the news, Europe is ablaze, basically. I mean, it may not be war, but there are a bunch of protests, and people are being taxed, and they're pushing austerity measures. They had the same kind of economic collapse that we have here. You know, we're the superpower in the world, so we ain't feeling it like everybody else. But people are taking it in the they're getting hit hard, man. And this is what's coming our way. Here's one of the other stories. Here they're talking about that the globalists are pushing for Russia and the EU to merge. So, you know, it goes back to this thing about a United States of Europe. And the bottom line is, in some circles, what's being talked about, or what has been talked about for a number of years, is that these people want a one-world government, and that they're bringing it all together, you know, initially starting up with this regional thing, like, you know, NAFTA, North American Free Trade Association, and then you got, you know, the EU, and then you got ACN, ASEAN, Asia, blah, 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 whatever that. But all it is just starting to lump these countries together. First we got them in groups, and then, you know, eventually it all comes together under the UN or World Trade or something like that. But all that means is that once you got this supranational, or super transnational, whatever it is, but you're going to have one world government, say the UN, just telling everybody else in the world what they got to do. You know, and the bottom line is all the minerals and resources are in the poor countries. So the rich world, the Europeans controlling everything, is going to tell Congo, yeah, you need to give us all those minerals and bring it over here to Europe and the U.S. That's all it's about. That's what it's coming down to. So, again, that one story is talking about globalists pushing for a Russia-EU merger. Merging Europe. And then this other one, and I know I just got a couple minutes left, but this is a pretty heavy duty. This war on terror, I'm telling you, you know, if there's nothing else that you think about in this global stuff or what's going on with this country, this war on terror is the essence of all of it because it enables all of this tyranny and authoritarian government and this restructuring and the new colonialism. All of it is founded on this war on terror. I mean, they were talking about this stuff years, decades ago, but this war on terror is what allows all this to happen. This article that I just dropped in there says, U.S. forces rape women in northern Afghanistan village. And that says from a report from locals. The residents of a village in northern Afghanistan say American troops raped several women during a nighttime raid in the rural community. It's just sickening. You know, we ain't supposed to be over there in the first place. The whole thing's a fraud and a lie. But as long as we keep talking about this war on terror and going with that, you're going to have to deal with this stuff. And if you remember, Blackwater was over there and a couple other contractors. They were involved in this kind of stuff, this prostitution and stuff. It's evil. You know, this global or foreign affairs, foreign policy, we need to get out of these countries, mind our own business. Yeah, have trade. Ron Paul has the answer. But we need to get out of these countries. It's a fraud. It's the new colonialism is what it is. And they're hiding behind this black face in the White House, Obama, and these black representatives like Rice and stuff. Screw that. Screw those people. All right, everybody have a good night. Stay tuned for Proof. He's coming up here shortly. And let me make sure that I have something to play here. He's coming up here shortly. And let's all have a good night. Thanks.
No genetically modified foods for you either? Even Haley says. Genetically modified foods? Oh my gosh, really? What is a genetically modified food? GMO? You know. If you don't, research it. Enter our video contest and win $100. Check for details at freedomizerradio.com. In the meantime, this little message from Mike Adams, the Health Ranger at Natural.